Canty and Golic Jr., the podcast.
Ball Friday here on Canty and Golic Jr. on ESPN Radio and ESPN Plus. Mike Golic Jr. and Chris Canty getting you set for Super Wild Card Weekend. We are presented by Progressive Insurance. All guests appear via the Goodyear Hotline. We're taking your calls on who's your wild card player for your team this weekend or the strangest thing you've ever eaten. And with that, Gojo, we got to go out to the phone lines, the Dr. Pepper call-in line, to Joey in South Carolina. Joey, you're on Canty and Golic Jr.
Hey, how you boys doing?
Good.
Good. I just wanted to give my wild card for tomorrow's night's game, 8:15 start up in Orchard Park. I wanted to give Matthew Judon and Kyle Van Noy those honors. I think ultimately it's going to lead to the Patriots containing Josh Allen, that run game, you know, when the play's out. So I think Matthew Judon and Van Noy, what do you boys think about that?
Yeah, Chris, I'd have to say, as much as we talked about, you know, Josh Allen and his legs being able to affect this game, the Patriots needing to be able to get home with four, Matthew Judon's come over here in year one and been a sensation. One of the best offseason pickups for any team in the NFL. I think 12 and a half sacks on the season. And Kyle Van Noy, just a guy who has fit so perfectly into the scheme. He's one of the Pats that did the leave and come back, did a little study abroad down there in Miami before he came back home. We know how important both of those guys are. But it's the difficulty, and you know this, of being a defensive lineman, having to rush a quarterback who's as gifted and as mobile as Josh Allen is.
And that's the problem with it, Gojo. It's hard to have a good game plan for a quarterback that can use his legs the way that Josh Allen can. And so it's going to be up to that defensive front seven to make sure that they have rush lane integrity when it comes to straight drop back passing situations, knowing that Josh Allen can pull the ball down at any time. And we saw in that playoff game against the Baltimore Ravens last year, that was what really turned the tide, because there was some inclement weather, there was some wind, and Josh Allen utilizing his legs in the red zone ended up being the difference in that game. So that's definitely a formula for success for this Buffalo Bills offense down the stretch. And this front seven for the Patriots have got to be up for the task. Quarterback scrambles and then being able to shut down the design quarterback runs. And that's where it's going to have to be all hands on deck. Not just Matt Judon and Kyle Van Noy, but Dont'a Hightower, Devon Godshaw, and Christian Barmore. All of those guys are going to have to step up, clog those run lanes, and give Josh Allen no place to go.
Yeah, 12 rushing attempts for Josh Allen, and that's obviously a mix last time in the second meeting. Again, I'm kind of willing to throw out most of what we saw in that first meeting. Not to say that Patriots rushing attack didn't assert itself in a major way in that first meeting, where we had 50-mile-an-hour winds or whatever the hell it was at Orchard Park, three passing attempts from Mac Jones, the Patriots quarterback. But Chris, in that second meeting, Josh Allen's ability to use his legs as a part of the drop back passing game in that spot, all of it makes life so difficult there. Like, and I don't know, I've never been a big fan of spies on defense. I don't know where you felt on that, having a D lineman or a linebacker in charge of Josh Allen if he were to break free. It always felt like burning a guy and wasting a guy to me, but those may be the things you have to start to tinker with if you're Bill Belichick in this defense.
Well, I don't know if you want to take a guy out of coverage given the weapons that the Buffalo Bills have on the offensive side of the ball. Like, I just, with that receiving core, you don't want to take guys out of coverage, especially the guys underneath. Like, you know, with the safeties and the corners, they're going to be top down, but that underneath coverage, not letting Josh Allen work those intermediate zones, is going to be critical in terms of being able to have success and mitigate that passing attack. So yeah, I'm with you. I don't necessarily believe in spies. I just think it has to ratchet up the level of awareness from your defensive linemen, the guys that are accounting for rushing the passer.
Canty and Golic Jr. here on ESPN Radio. Mike Golic Jr., Chris Canty. We will get to more of the matchups heading into Wild Card Weekend, Super Wild Card Weekend, and two quarterbacks that have a ton on the line going into this one. One old and one new, who both have a chance to cement legacies in a different way heading into this weekend. But we also had something else happen during the show today. So ESPN Buccaneers reporter Jenna Lane tweeted out, almost inexplicably, I still don't know the answer for this, but she tweeted out, by FDA standards, chocolate can have no more than 60 insect fragments per 100 grams. She also said the red dye in Skittles is actually made from the boiled bodies of crushed bugs. And it got us onto the idea of what's the weirdest thing that you've eaten, live animal or otherwise. So without further ado, let's go to Jay in Florida. Jay, you're on Canty and Golic Jr. here. I am fully ready. Oh, sorry, Brian. Excuse me. Brian, from Buffalo. Brian from Buffalo, you're on Canty and Golic Jr. here. What is the strangest thing you've eaten?
Hey, how you doing, fellas?
Good, good. How you doing?
I'm doing great. Hey, when I was younger, you know, we were at a party celebrating a big football win, and I've been drinking, and a lizard had crawled up my arm, and I grabbed it, and I said, hey, fellas, watch this, and I threw that lizard in my throat and drank it down with a little bit of Jack, and I swear to you, I felt him crawling back up all night, so I kept telling my friends I was just going to drown him in Jack Daniels.
Oh, my God. Brian, I have so many questions, but I mean, listen,
I swear he clung on down there and just kept trying to crawl his way back up, and I just kept drinking Jack until I passed out.
So, Brian, what you're saying is it was a battle, and you're not quite sure whether or not you won.
I'm not sure if I won. He may have got out by the end of the night, but I think it's my best effort of trying to keep him down.
You know what? It's a great strategy, Brian. We appreciate the call. Chris, I can't knock the hustle right there. You're trying to drown him in that particular substance. I'd pay good money for GoPro footage from the perspective of that lizard.
Bruh, he waterboarded a lizard with Jack Daniels.
Oh, my God. Yeah, no, I mean, listen.
What in the world? Because this is a good idea.
You know what? Everything feels like a good idea at that point. Especially, you know what it is, though? It is you get a group of football players together in a spot like that, and dumb things are going to happen. I'll never forget this as long as I live. I will not name the former Notre Dame receiver. I don't want to out him publicly on this. But we had a buddy of mine in college. We were in study hall, and we were sitting around, and we had a lot of extra time here. It was towards the end of the night. And all of a sudden, in one of the rooms, we found a live cockroach. And so we were college kids, didn't have a ton of money to our names. And so all of a sudden, we go to this one guy. We're like, hey, how much? And we go, all right, how much you guys got? So we all start pooling our money together. This guy, for $65,
hell no,
ate a live cockroach middle of our study hall.
I don't understand. First of all, why did you guys put him up to something like that, as disgusting as eating a cockroach?
Because we were 19!
No, I can't give you know better at 19, Gojo.
I didn't know better.
You know better. Don't slander your parents like that. They raised you better than that. Don't do that to Golic Sr. Stop it.
Oh, listen, if I know my dad at 19, he would have done that or worse. I can guarantee you that. If anyone would condone that kind of behavior, it is Mike Golic Sr. Dad, if you are out there right now, not in agreement, send me a text message, because you know good and damn well you'd have been lining up there saying, yeah, I got $3.
See, here's the thing, man. With Brian, the last caller, he was inebriated, so I could understand why he thought swallowing the lizard might have been a cool idea, might have been fun. I get it. But you guys are in study hall. No alcohol, no substances. Like, this is just, let's eat a cockroach for $65. I don't understand it. It makes no sense.
Listen,
your study hall was a lot different than the study hall I had in Virginia. Most of the time, I was trying to find a way to get out of study hall, but that's another story.
Yeah, no, that was kind of the story of all this. Listen, Chris, I don't know what to tell you. This is pre-NIL, man. All right? We didn't have walking around money for going down to Martin's Side Door Deli and doing a couple of ads or autograph signings out there. So it was by any means necessary, and by those means, just happened to be eating a cockroach. 888-SAY-ESPN, 888-729-3776. Wild card players or wild card animal that you've eaten? Either of those are in play at this point, because it's Friday and I don't think our bosses are listening. Coming up next, are the Eagles a real threat to the Tampa Bay Buccaneers on Super Wild Card Weekend? Sports on ESPN Radio.
This is ESPN Radio.
On Friday on Canty and Golic Jr. on ESPN Radio and ESPN Plus, Mike Golic Jr. and Chris Canty. We're presented by Progressive Insurance. All guests appear via the Goodyear Hotline. We've been taking your calls all show long on your wild card player or your wild card food this weekend. Join the conversation on the Dr. Pepper call-in line, 888-SAY-ESPN. That's 888-729-3776. Let's go to Glenn in West Virginia. Glenn, you're on Canty and Golic Jr.
Hey, how's it going tonight, fellas?
Good. How you doing?
Good, man. So, hey, my best friend in high school, his dad, in the summertime worked on a big fishing boat down in North Carolina. We would go down once or twice a summer and go out on smaller charters with him. One morning, he brings out eggs and toast with what appeared to be jelly, and I ate it, and it tasted kind of like a very salty jelly until I found out it was squid eyes.
See, and you know what? I'm glad you brought this up, Glenn, because, Chris, this goes back to the heart of what we talked about before, finding out that there was a certain amount of bugs allowed in chocolate by the FDA, is if you eat it and you like the way it tastes and then you find out, oh, it's squid eyes, to me that says, well, damn, I like squid eyes now.
Yeah, I hear where you're coming from, and by and large, I agree with you, but there are certain places, certain things that you draw the line with. And for me, mayonnaise aioli is one of those things. Like, it can be on a crab cake sandwich, and somebody says, oh, we've got a nice little spread, a little something on there. And if I find out it is aioli or mayonnaise, I'm going to throw up in my mouth. That's just me. I don't like mayonnaise. I know that. Something about the consistency bothers me. So that's just where I am. But I hear you. Be open-minded about things. If you taste it, you like it, you go with it no matter what it ends up being.
Yeah, it just, that to me is one of those things. Like, hey, I can understand. I went through this a lot. I was a picky eater as a kid, which is surprising to say for a former offensive lineman, certainly. But at some point, I found, like, all right, like, if I just like the way something tastes, I'm going to rock with it. So keep those coming. 888-SAY-ESPN, 888-729-3776. Reminder to tune in tomorrow for college basketball action. Kansas hosts West Virginia. Coverage begins at 1:30 p.m. Eastern on ESPN Radio and the ESPN app. Let's get a football wild card in here. Let's go to Tyler in Massachusetts. Tyler, you're on Candy and Gold, Jr. What do you got?
Hey, long-time listener. Love the show. I got a really good feeling about Najee this weekend. I don't know why. After watching the Ben Roethlisberger interview and how he was saying, oh, we don't belong here, whatever, that, I feel like the whole team just having that idea of, like, you know, going out there just to play. And Najee's so young, he's still going to go out there with such a, you know, such a head-on approach. I feel like I just feel like he could be a real big factor in the game, and you never know. He could run all over the Chiefs, you know?
Listen, I wouldn't be surprised if Najee ran all over anybody. And it's interesting, Chris, what Najee's had. He's had a great rookie year for the Steelers.
No doubt.
Despite an offensive line that's been coming together. Matt Canada is a new coordinator in that offense. And remember, he was one that got kind of called out by Ben Roethlisberger in the season, saying, you know, I played with Jerome Bettis. You got to run through guys. All these things that sounded kind of weird at the time. But credit to Najee Harris. He stuck with it, and he's been really effective for them. And we know for Kansas City, that's been a team that has been run on from time to time during this year. Chris Jones being healthy and in the middle, certainly a factor in that. But Najee Harris, listen, if the Steelers do win, he is going to be a large reason why.
Oh, no doubt about it, because the best defense that the Steelers are going to have against Pat Mahomes and that Chiefs offense is keeping them off the field and having a ball control offense. And so Najee Harris can go a long ways into making that happen. And I go back to week 17 in their matchup against the Cleveland Browns, and it ended up being a glorified pillow fight between those two offenses. But when you see what Najee Harris was able to do rushing the ball for a buck 88, I mean, he's got the talent to be a workhorse, and you see how physical he is in the open field. He's not going to get tackled by just one defender. So there's definitely the potential for him to be able to have a huge game and to be able to make this thing a little bit closer than the experts might think. Like, Pittsburgh has got that chip on their shoulder. This is an organization that has championship pedigree. This is a quarterback that's played in really big games, that's won Super Bowls. And so when you couple all of those things together, and then the fact that you're marching in a championship caliber defense with the guy that's likely to be defensive MVP, I don't know, man. I just feel like this is going to be a fourth quarter game, and I wouldn't be surprised if the Steelers take this thing all the way down to the wire.
So keep those calls coming, 888-SAY-ESPN, 888-729-3776. Chris, the matchup that we've been looking at today, though, and focusing in on is that Bucks and Philadelphia Eagles matchup. Tom Brady and the Tampa Bay Buccaneers and the Philadelphia Eagles. We spent some time on the Bucs before here, and looking at this Eagles side, Chris, we talked about quarterbacks that are walking into this weekend with a ton of pressure and a ton of weight on their shoulders. You and I both think, and a lot of people, look at Matthew Stafford with the Los Angeles Rams, the price they paid to get him over there, what this means in his career where he's 0-3 in the postseason. He's kind of heads and tails in his own spot. I could construct an argument, though, for second place, for coming down after that here, that looking at Jalen Hurts, who's already done a ton and I believe has put himself in great position going into next year. You had the quote, the Eagles are as comfortable with him as they are with their options heading into this offseason. But every step of the way you go from here on out in the postseason, if the Eagles were able to find a way to pull this off, just makes it that much harder. And you know this, Chris, as a player, your job is to go out there and make it hard on management each and every day with the way they approach you. And with a draft class with fewer compelling prospects than we've seen in a while here, if you're Jalen Hurts, you can go out each and every step of the way from here on out and try and make it that much harder and make your job security next year that much better.
No doubt about it. And so there's a tremendous opportunity in front of Jalen Hurts, because if he's able to go down to Tampa and play well and the Eagles pull off the upset, then all of a sudden people are looking at him differently. Just in the same way we were talking about with Joe Burrow in his second year, if he's able to stack some playoff wins, how people in NFL circles, how the media and fans would look at him differently, the same applies to Jalen Hurts. Like, Gojo, we're both on the same page when it comes to him seeming like he's a limited player in terms of overall upside, but that doesn't mean that he can't be an effective player for what Nick Sirianni is asking him to do. And when you saw what this team did in the middle of the season, being able to adjust that offense midstream and being more of a run option type of outfit with RPOs and using the quarterback and design run packages, I think that there's a way to look at Jalen Hurts as more than just a stopgap or more than just something that you're doing until you get to your future franchise quarterback. You can look at him as a guy that you can build around with the draft capital that you've amassed. So I'm with you. I think that this has huge implications in terms of being an opportunity for Jalen Hurts, but I don't think that him going down in Tampa and you know, his performance is going to negatively impact his status with the organization going into 2022.
No, it's all upside for him at this point. You're absolutely right. And Nick Sirianni is a great name to bring up in all this, because with that change in there, it has to make you feel good regardless of who your quarterback may end up being in the long term. Because again, I don't think Jalen Hurts is the answer for them long term. Nick Sirianni was able to say, let's craft the best version of ourselves for this year's team and for what we've got to do. Because, Chris, in this game, I can look at it. This is, I believe, the fifth all-time, or at least since the merger, playoff matchup between the number one passing offense in the NFL in the Tampa Bay Buccaneers and the number one rushing offense in the NFL. The number one rushing offense has won three of the previous four matchups. We also know that was from a different era of football. Those were largely from the 90s and before. So there's a lot that doesn't bode well for Philadelphia in this game, purely because Tom freaking Brady's on the other side of this one. Like, I can tell you that the Philadelphia Eagles faced more third and shorts, had more third and short, third and three or less attempts than any team in the NFL. They stay on schedule really well. They face fewer third and long looks than anyone else in the NFL. They avoid bad situations with their quarterback. They stay on schedule behind the strength of that line. And Chris, I still cannot pick against Tom Brady, even with all the playmakers they've dealt with being down on offense.
Yeah, no doubt about it. And then I feel like we're also being a little bit dismissive of that Tampa Bay Bucs defensive front seven.
Yep.
Because those guys are really, really good. And I know that they've allowed some yards against some teams late in the season, but this team knows that they're playing for championships. So I look to see a different mentality when it comes to stopping the run for Vita Vea and Dominican Sue. And now with getting Shaq Barrett and JPP back, this is going to be a different defense than what we've seen over the course of the last month of the season.
That one could send shockwaves through the rest of the league if they're able to come out and look like the team from early in the season, that number one rush defense. We'll get into more of that, more of your calls coming up here next, and a look at where you can make some money heading into this weekend. We'll go on the plus side after Chris tells you about Man in the Arena.
Yeah, we're talking about the Eagles-Bucks matchup. Of course, that's Tom Brady, the Man in the Arena. Join Gautam Chopra as he explores what Tom Brady has meant to football and the world in The Man in the Arena, a new podcast from ESPN Plus and Religion of Sports. A companion piece to Gotham's ESPN Plus docuseries, this 10-part podcast examines the improbable ripple effects of Brady's career, things that have forced us to rethink everything we thought we knew about time, hatred, perfection, even fate. The podcast is brought to you by State Farm, Zip Recruiter, and Rocket Mortgage. Listen and follow Man in the Arena now on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts, and stream the docuseries on ESPN+. More Canty and Golic Jr. back after this.
The This is ESPN Radio.
Kenny and Golic Jr. on ESPN Radio and ESPN Plus. Mike Golic Jr. and Chris Canty getting you set for Super Wild Card Weekend. We are presented by Progressive Insurance, and this weekend preview is brought to you by Geico. Whether you rent or own, Geico makes it easy to bundle home and car insurance. Go to geico.com today. And Gojo, because it is Friday and we are getting ready for Super Wild Card Weekend, we figured this might be a nice spot to try to help our listeners make some coin.
It is that time, Chris. We want to try and help you get some money, see if there's some underdogs we like out here this weekend, and shout out to our friends streaming this on ESPN Plus. It is on the plus side heading into Super Wild Card Weekend. We're going to run through these matchups, see if we like any of the dogs in here. What's up first, Renee?
Raiders at Bengals.
All right, Raiders at Bengals in the Wild Card Weekend. We know how we got to this one for both these teams, Chris. The Bengals coming into this one, 5.5-point favorites, which means the Vegas Raiders plus 5.5. Do you like that dog in this game?
I can't go for that. I don't like the dog in this one. I can't roll with that. I'm rolling with the Cincinnati Bengals. The Vegas Raiders, it's a great story, them being able to fight their way through adversity and get into the postseason, but I think Cinderella is about to lose her glass slipper. I mean, if you look at the last four games of the season, the four straight wins by 4 points or fewer, and you're talking about the Raiders being one of the most penalized teams in the National Football League, third most penalties, going up against the least penalized team in the NFL. You know, when we talk playoff football, it's all about margins, and I just feel like fundamentally – the new Cincinnati Bengals are playing better football than the Las Vegas Raiders, so I can't go with this underdog.
This one's a tough one for me. Obviously, a battle of our friends. Jordan Cornette, co-host of Sports Nation, big-time Cincinnati fan. Jason Fitz, our neighbor to the north, lifelong diehard Raiders fan. I have consistently picked against this Raiders team, and it has benefited Fitz, so I feel like I got to stay consistent on this one. I'm with you, Chris. I cannot take those points with the Las Vegas Raiders. I think Cincinnati wins by a touchdown in this game here. I'm sorry, Fitz, but also you're welcome because this seems to have worked out for you. What's up next, Renee?
Patriots at Bills.
All right, Pats at Bills here. This one a rarity, certainly for Bill Belichick in the Patriot era, but they are dogs heading into wild card weekend in the NFL. The Patriots plus 4.5, Chris. How we feeling?
Oh, I love it. I love it, and it was at 4 earlier, so it's moving in my direction. I'm taking all those points. We know that the most common margin of victory is 3, and so I'm going to be on the right side of that, taking the Patriots. Thinking about Josh Allen facing a Bill Belichick coach defense for the third time in the same season, knowing that this defense is going up against a quarterback that can use his legs. Bill Belichick will have them well aware of that. It's a cold weather game, so it lends itself to being a relatively low scoring game. And then, of course, Gojo, this is the one that I love. The Bills are 0-5 in games decided by one possession. Playoff games are oftentimes closely contested. I expect this one to be, and that's why I'm going with the New England Patriots, the underdog in this matchup.
Yep, we've heard all about the sub-zero temperatures heading into this game here. I've often compared it to this, but I think this one could be low and slow like a brisket. I think Buffalo wins outright, but I think New England, I like them plus 4.5 on this one. I'm with you. Just the game script. Bill Belichick, we know if anyone can put together a game plan, it ain't going to look like the first matchup between these three.
No.
With all that win, but I think they can keep this one close enough to the vest to at least stay within 4.5. Canty and Golic Jr. here on ESPN Radio on the plus side heading into Wild Card Weekend. What's up next, Renee?
Eagles at Buccaneers.
All right, this is the one we've talked about a lot today here. The Philadelphia Eagles plus 8.5 heading down to Tampa here. Chris, you touching this?
No way. Can't do it. Can't win with that. I'm not going to do it. I told you in the production meeting before the show, Gojo, the Bucs are laying 8.5, and I have zero reservations about laying the points in this one. And it's not to be dismissive of this Philadelphia Eagles team. They've been great, especially in the second half of this year. But I just feel like this is a one-dimensional outfit, and Todd Bowles, one of the best defensive coordinators in the National Football League, is going to take that dimension away. He's going to find a way to eliminate some of those option runs that have been so effective for the Philadelphia Eagles offense, and Tampa Bay Buccaneers do a good job of limiting the productivity of opposing tight ends. We know how much of a factor Dallas Goedert is in the passing game. They're going to take that away from Jalen Hurts as well. So I think it's going to be tough sledding for that Philadelphia Eagles offense. And Tom Brady, he'll figure out a way to MacGyver that thing with the guys he's got out of the lineup on offense. The Tampa Bay Bucs cruise to a win on Wild Card Weekend.
I have thought a lot about this one today. And I think this. I understand it has been a long time since these teams first met early in the season. The Eagles were able to keep it within a tut in that game, 28-26. I've looked at all of it. I know Tom Brady and the Bucs are going to win in all this one, but 8.5 points is a bunch.
Mm-hmm.
I think the Birds keep it close here. I'll take Philly plus 8.5 on this one. I cannot wait to have Tom Brady punch me in the mouth and have this be a part, even as minimal a slight as it is, of the next chapter of the Man in the Arena documentary. Let's get one more in here.
I don't know, Gojo. Do you want to put some mayonnaise-covered crickets on this one?
Ooh, all right.
I mean, make it interesting.
I'll eat a mayonnaise-covered. It's got to be like one of those. I'm not eating a live cricket, but I'll find dead crickets and I'll dip one in mayonnaise on air on this show if the Tampa Bay Buccaneers are able to cover against the Philadelphia Eagles. I grew up a Birds fan. We know we got a hella Johns around this show. So, Philly, I need you to have my back on this one big time. God, me and this mayo thing aren't going anywhere. Let's get one more.
49ers at Cowboys.
All right, Chris, this has been the upset everyone's been calling for on the weekend. San Fran plus 3 on the road at Dallas here. You said a ton of the money in Vegas coming in on San Fran. How do you like the Niners plus the field goal in this one?
No, I don't like it. I mean, I'm going to roll with the Dallas Cowboys, and I get it. The 49ers have a really stingy front seven when it comes to allowing the run game to get going. And the Dallas Cowboys are 1-5 when held under 100 yards rushing. That being said, I think this is going to be a big day for Tony Pollard and Ezekiel Elliott. They'll figure out a way to get that ground game going. And Kellen Moore will have some wrinkles that the 49ers haven't prepared for. That'll make sure that that offense will be productive. And on the defensive side, I look at this defense as being able to put a lot of pressure on Jimmy G with Randy Gregory, DeMarcus Lawrence, and Micah Parsons. Pressure on quarterbacks, especially early in the downs, usually leads to turnovers. So they'll figure out a way to create some takeaways because that's what they do. They're tops in the league, and that'll be the difference in this matchup.
I'm with you. I think Dallas wins in this one. I'm not going to touch the 3. I think for all the conversation we've had about this, the Cowboys have heard it. They know what's at stake here. And even on defense for the Dallas Cowboys, I think Kyle Shanahan's going to be able to mess with young eyes there, Micah Parsons, Trevon Diggs in that secondary. But they have been predicated on making big splash plays all year. And I still think they're able to do enough of that with Jimmy Garoppolo in the postseason to get this dub here. By the way, if the Eagles then do cover, Chris, does that mean you are the one eating the cricket and mayo on the other side of this?
I don't know about the cricket. Let's do this. The Oreo in the mayonnaise.
Right.
I'll replicate what you did at the Duke Mayo Bowl.
There we
go. Let's do that.
All right, perfect. So we have got the terms of this one set. Eagles plus 8.5 with mayonnaise, crickets, and Oreos all on the line here heading into the weekend. That is on the plus side here on Canty and Golic Jr. Coming up next, we will get to your wild card player heading into the NFL weekend as we go 3 and out on ESPN Radio.
This is ESPN Radio.
Ball Friday on Canty and Golic Jr. on ESPN Radio and ESPN Plus, getting you set for Super Wild Card Weekend. Mike Golic Jr. and Chris Canty, we're presented by Progressive Insurance. All guests appeared via the Goodyear Hotline. Got to give a shout-out to our guest that came on the show today, Pittsburgh Steelers wide receiver Ray-Ray McCloud, jumping on, telling us about his game coming up against the Kansas City Chiefs. And then, of course, ESPN Eagles reporter Tim McManus giving us the latest on the Philadelphia Eagles getting ready to head south to take on the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. If you missed any of it, go to the Canty and Golic Jr. podcast, download, rate, and subscribe. We greatly appreciate it. But Gojo, this is the time we like to do 3 and out, but because we've had some good callers on the show, we're going to do 3 and out a little bit differently today, right?
Yes, it is going to be an extra special version. We have had a very strange show that mostly involves you telling us the strange bugs that you have eaten along the course of the day here. And so let's go 3 and out and get ready to party.
Sometimes it's the worst. Sometimes it's the best. Either way, we'll get you straight with everything you need to know. This is 3 and out.
888-SAY-ESPN, 888-729-3776. We were taking your wild card player all day, or the strangest bug, insect, animal that you've eaten here. So let's go out to Kevin in Texas. Kevin, you're on Canty and Golic Jr. here. What do you got?
Are y'all there?
Yep, we're there. What do you got, Kevin?
Can y'all hear me?
Yep.
Well, back in my college days,
I seen a bunch of people crowded around a keg, and they were all laughing and everything, and I walked over there, and they said they were eating June bugs. Whoever ate the most won $20. I don't know if they were messing with me or not, but they said 109. Maybe I heard them wrong, but it was actually 9, but I ate 110 June bugs.
Oh.
And it wasn't bad when you first start them. You just start downing them, drink beer. But when you had to start going search for them about number 30, and you had to walk around and look for June bugs to find and eat, that's when it got a little dicey.
Again, we appreciate the call, Kevin.
June bugs?
All for $20. My favorite part is that he goes, yeah, it got tough around June bug 30 when you had to go hunting. And he wasn't even a third of the way through his June bug consumption.
100-plus June bugs with beer to down it? Some of the life choices that folks are making out here, man, I don't understand it.
And we really buried the lead. Because of poor listening comprehension, he only had to eat 9 in order to win the $20.
So he just kept going?
Like, this
you,
is...
You know those people weren't going to tell him either.
Oh, hell no. No. Those are both the worst friends and the best friends on Earth because they understood they had a great feat of human ingenuity going on here, and they were not going to stand in the way of that.
Listen, I'm all for doing things for the story, but, like, just to keep it carrying on like that, man, eating that many June bugs and then downing it with beer, like, that's... It's just a poor life choice.
You got to fight your friends after that one. There's no way around that. Let's go to Bob in Wyoming. Bob, you're on Canty and Golic Jr. What have you eaten?
Hello from Wyoming. Love the show. This is a shout out for Josh Allen, University of Wyoming Cowboy. And the best thing to eat out here are bull testicles. We call them Rocky Mountain oysters. Dan Campbell may bite kneecaps, but we eat the testicles. And mayo and cocktail sauce is delicious with Rocky Mountain oysters.
See, Rocky Mountain oysters, Chris, we talked about how Brussels sprouts maybe had the best PR team of any food that I've known in my time. Rocky Mountain oysters have had that since the jump. Like, just the branding alone on this out the gate really put them in the safest place possible for something that no other human being on Earth would touch if given their, you know, given name.
Yeah, if it was the real name, if it really was, you know, you're putting it out there. I don't know that a lot of people are going to go for it, but because they packaged it a certain way, because they branded it a certain way, can't believe I said that, no pun intended, but because they branded it that way, yeah, I guess it does sound like something that could be palatable. I'm glad I know what it is now because I had never heard of it before we did this show today, but now that I'm fully aware of it, let me tell you what I'm going to stay away from. Rocky Mountain oysters.
I need to look up how those are prepared. Like, are we talking about something that's deep fried here? Because, I mean, you can deep fry anything and make it taste pretty good. I've been to the Texas
State
Fair.
But not that. No, you can deep fry Oreos, deep fry Snickers, Twinkies, all. You're not deep frying Rocky Mountain oysters and making them taste good. I don't believe you can do it.
That is how Canty and Golic Jr. previews Super Wild Card Weekend in the NFL. This one got away from us a little bit today. Again, you can thank Jenna Lane, our ESPN Buccaneers reporter, for putting out there strange facts about the amount of insect bits that are legally allowed to be inside of your chocolate, the amount of crushed up insects inside Skittles, which, Chris, I know, Chris, you said after finding out that you would not be eating Skittles anymore. I don't believe you. I just don't.
I'm not going to do it. I'm not going to do it, and I will attest to it on my honor. I will not do it. Now, that's that same honor code that I abided by at the University of Virginia, so on my honor, I'm not going to do it.
There we go. Take that for what you will on this one. Everyone, enjoy Super Wild Card Weekend. We know it's going to be a blast. This is everything the NFL's wanted it to be and more since we got to it last year. Stick around here on ESPN Radio. I'm sure Spain and Fitz will be able to keep this energy coming up next on ESPN.
Thanks for listening to Canty and Golic Jr., the podcast. You can check the guys out live weekday afternoons at 4 Eastern on ESPN Radio and on ESPN+.